from the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Emily Munson reports in the Times Union that Governor Andrew Cuomo's manipulation of COVID-19 nursing home death data was the subject of jokes and speculation the last few days, from the halls of Congress to the Saturday Night Live stage. Pete Davidson played Cuomo in a sketch that also made fun of Ted Cruz on SNL, and local and national legislators are commenting and sometimes denouncing Cuomo all over. U.S. Attorney General nominee Merrick Garland was asked about the controversy February 22nd at his confirmation hearing. Garland said, and I quote, "With all of these investigations, the Justice Department is open to evidence of fraud, false statements, violations of the law," end quote. He also said, and I quote, "They normally begin in the relevant U.S. Attorney's office," end quote. Congressperson Paul Tonko, who represents Albany County, also put out a bland statement, and I quote, "I support the officials in New York State and at the U.S. Department of Justice who are working to review this incident and to ensure accountability, and I am confident that they are up to the task," end quote. A large block of conservative U.S. senators had harsher words for Senate Judiciary Chair Dick Durbin, asking him to launch a congressional investigation into the Cuomo administration's actions. The senators wrote, and I quote, "The American people deserve to know the extent to which Governor Cuomo and his senior staff violated the civil rights, lied to the Department of Justice about their actions, and violated federal, civil, and criminal laws in the process," end quote. New York's junior Democratic Senator Kirsten Gillibrand said February 19th that she would support hearings in the Senate Aging Committee about conditions in nursing homes across the country. She said, and I quote, "I hope we can have hearings on the broader issue because this is not something that is isolated to New York alone," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Aaron Captain is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Coxsackie Village Board has unanimously approved the agreement with Hecate Energy for a 50-megawatt solar farm. The project, proposed for 400 acres on Farm to Market Road, will use approximately 170,000 solar panels. Coxsackie Mayor Mark Evans said, and I quote, "We have been involved with the Hecate Solar Project since the beginning," end quote. Evans said the project originally called for solar arrays to be located within the village boundary, but they have since been removed from the proposal. The mayor said, however, the visual impact for village residents remains a concern. He said the agreement includes vegetation screening and setbacks. Hecate's application was ruled complete by the Board on Electric Siting and Environment in September, and the company should receive a certificate later this year. Project developer Alex Campbell said construction is slated to begin in the spring. Chicago-based Hecate proposed a $4 million to $6 million local revenue program to be allocated to the town, school, county, fire department, ambulance squad, and library over the project's 35-year lifespan. The facility is expected to begin operating in 2022. At the conclusion of the project, Hecate will recycle the project materials and restore the property to its previous condition. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Patricia Doxey's reporting for the Daily Freeman. Only 48 hours after Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan announced plans to launch a universal basic income pilot program in the county, more than 1,500 people had applied to participate. Through the program, 100 eligible Ulster County households will receive a guaranteed $500 monthly income from May 1st to April 30th, 2022, for a total of $6,000 per recipient. Ryan said the outpouring of applications is a testament to the dire financial straits that many community members find themselves in and the need for government leaders to find new and innovative ways to address the needs of their communities. Ryan said that even before the COVID-19 pandemic, almost 40% of county residents were living paycheck to paycheck. The initiative is a partnership among the county's Project Resilience and University of Pennsylvania's Center for Guaranteed Income Research, Community Foundations of the Hudson Valley, and Ulster Savings Bank. The $600,000 to support the program will come from Project Resilience, so no taxpayer dollars will be spent on the effort. Community Foundations of the Hudson Valley will administer the program, and the bank will set up bank accounts and provide debit cards. Penn will provide the academic component, monitoring how the recipients spend the money and evaluate the impact of the program on participants. The initiative is similar to the UBI pilot program taking place in cities across the nation, including one in the city of Hudson, which is providing a $500 monthly benefit to 25 individuals over a five-year period. Ulster County residents with incomes of up to $46,900 can apply to participate in the program by going to Ulster County COVID-19 information page. Participants will be chosen via a lottery conducted by the University of Pennsylvania. And you can read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Diane Valden is reporting for the Columbia Paper. The Copaig Town Board February 11th heard from Roberta Roll, chairperson of the Hamlet Revitalization Task Force, about nominating areas within the town for historic designation. In her presentation, Roll noted that several areas and buildings have already been designated through the state and national historic registers. Those buildings include the Copaig Grange and the United Methodist Church in the Hamlet, as well as the Church of St. John in the Wilderness and the Ironworks in Copaig Falls. She said the designations recognize and honor the building or an area for its historical, agricultural, architectural, industrial, or cultural significance. Roll said, and I quote, "Buildings in the Ironworks District, the museum, the restored ironworks, and the walking trail have all served to enhance the character of the hamlet and draw visitors to the area. The task force has come to realize that historic designation may be useful in promoting the town, sustaining existing businesses and attracting new businesses, and also attracting visitors and new residents," end quote. And while historic designations have been initiated by not-for-profit entities so far, Roll said the task force has come to the conclusion that Copaig would benefit from the active involvement of town government. She said the Copaig Economic Development Advisory Committee agrees. Roll then recommended to the town board that it increase historic recognition of the town by seeking and facilitating historic designations wherever possible. The Economic Development Advisory Committee agreed because, and I quote, "it is good for property values and has an honorary benefit," end quote. Supervisor Gene Mettler said the board would consider the proposal at its March meeting. And you can read the full story in the Columbia paper. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.